and pride upon learning that his work is about to become accessible to a new circle of readers. Upon learning, however, that Mr. John Cornos was translating my novel, The Little Demon, into English, I experienced not a little apprehension. In days of Anglo-Russian rapprochement, in days of great stress, when a common danger unites the two great nations, it seemed to me perhaps unseasonable to acquaint England with this somber picture. It occurred to me that there was a danger of my new readers accepting this novel as a precise and characteristic portrayal of Russian life. But my friends told me that Mr. John Cornos was fulfilling his task with great love and care, and this gives me the hope that the true meaning of my work will be also understood in the translation, reproducing so accurately the original. In any case, I should like to warn my readers against the temptation of seeing only Russian traits in this novel. The portrait of Peredonov is an expression of the all-human inclination towards evil, of the almost disinterested tendency of a perverse human soul to depart from the common course of universal life directed by one omnipotent will, and taking vengeance upon the world for its own grievous loneliness to bring into the world evil and abomination, to mutilate the given reality and to defile the beautiful dreams of humanity. This inclination towards evil, raging in the hearts of mankind in all latitudes and longitudes, invests itself only outwardly with an appearance of selfish expedience. A soul marred by this tragic affliction, that of a morose separation from the world, is borne along by a sovereign justice which rules worlds and hearts, upon disastrous paths, towards madness and towards death. The afflicted soul does not rejoice at its gains, to such a degree visionary, to such a degree worthless. A foreboding of ultimate destruction torments it with a gnawing sadness. Where then, in what blessed land, is not man tormented with this agonizing sadness, these true tokens of the same morose and somber affliction? The Russian chondra and the English spleen are the expression of one and the same malady of the spirit. Even in more noble souls, these harsh visitors, so familiar to both Englishmen and Russians, have been created by the omnipotent will not without a beneficent design. They incessantly remind the soul, succumbing in the life struggle, that the enemy is near, cunning and strong. I would be glad if my new readers should appraise not only the detestable sinfulness and perversity of a soul warped by the force of evil, but also the great yearning of this soul. The evil atones to a certain degree in this truly human feeling, and in this feeling, the afflicted man also communes with each one of us. This novel will not be accepted by you in condemnation of my country. My country has not a few enchantments which make her beloved not only by her own, but also by the observant stranger. Perhaps the attentive reader will find even in this somber novel certain reflections of enchanting Russian nature and of the live Russian soul. Fyodor Sologub. January 1916. The Little Demon. 1. After Mass, the members of the congregation scattered to their homes. A few stopped to talk under the old maples and lindens near the white stone walls, within the enclosure. All were in holiday dress and looked at one another cheerily. It appeared as if the inhabitants of this town lived peacefully and amicably, even happily. But it was only in appearance. Peredonov, a schoolmaster in the gymnasia, stood among his friends, and as he looked at them gravely out of his small stealthy eyes, across the golden rims of his spectacles, he remarked, "Princess Volchanskaya herself made the promise to Vara. As soon, she said, as you marry him, I'll hunt up an inspector's job for him." "But how can you think of marrying Varvara Dmitrievna?" asked the red-faced Falastov. "She's your first cousin." Everyone laughed. Peredonov's usually rosy, unconcerned, somnolent face showed anger. "Second cousin," he said gruffly, as he looked angrily past his companions. "Did the princess give you the promise herself?" asked Rutilov, a tall, pale, smartly dressed man. "She didn't give it to me, but to Vara," answered Peredonov. "Of course, you are ready to believe all she tells you," said Rutilov with animation. "It's easy enough to make up a tale. Why didn't you see the princess herself?" "This is how it was. I went with Vara.